From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to another Let the Bible Speak broadcast. In today's broadcast, we'll be continuing with our study in the life of Christ, following the Lord Jesus as He deals with the woman at the well in Samaria, returning today to the thought of His sovereign grace and proceeding to see His supreme wisdom as He dealt with this great and needy sinner. That's all before us. First, we'll have some gospel music, but even before that, our hot topic for the day, getting serious about porno crime. Police in Austria have uncovered a vast international child pornography ring involving more than 2,360 suspects from 77 countries, including hundreds in the United States, who have paid to view videos of young children being sexually abused. The children were under the age of 14 and screams could be heard, said Harald Gremmel, an Austrian police expert on internet crime, who headed the investigation. Interior Minister Gunter Platter said the FBI was investigating about 600 of the suspects in the United States. Child pornography and molestation is at epidemic proportions. The advent of the internet has been a boon to the porn industry, and industry is an appropriate word, for perverts are making millions of dollars out of the exploitation and ruination of children. It takes a lot of long, skillful detective work to run down these deviants. But detection's only part of the problem. There are at least two other major difficulties. The first is the fact that under the guise of free speech, but really in an audacious scheme to overthrow all Christian moral restraints in society, porn dealers are free to peddle their vile trade. The authorities accept that soft porn is harmless. It's everywhere, in your local grocery store, on billboards, on television, in the newspapers and magazines. It's used to sell everything from diet programs to expensive cars. It masquerades as art, and it seems that no drama, no comedy, indeed, no news bulletin is complete without it. Studies that show how serial killers graduated from soft porn to hard porn to acting out what they pored over are conveniently ignored. The truth is that we live in a porn-addicted nation. Hardly anyone really wants to eradicate porn. It's making too much money for too many people. And if the price is right, what are a few thousand or even a few million blighted lives? The other part of the problem of dealing with porn is in the court system. When the police actually catch predators, in some parts of the country, so-called liberal judges let the deviants off with a slap in the wrists, giving derisory sentences to people who have really merited the death penalty. Yes, you heard me right. Adults who rape and abuse little boys and girls are as bad as murderers. Someone has said that rape is the murder of a soul. They weren't far wrong. But courts all too often dream of rehabilitating the monsters who prey on children. It's a forlorn hope. I know that God's grace may save them. I also know it's beyond the power of man to change them. So either lock them up and throw away the key, or put them on death row. Extreme? Perhaps, but so is the crisis of all pervasive porn.
She was a great
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have a very special offer for you in this month of April, and I trust that you'll avail yourself of it. As our gift to you, we'd like to offer you my book on the Lord's Prayer. This has been a book that the Lord has greatly used and has been very instrumental in leading many Christians to a deeper experience of God in the secret place. The book is yours if you wish to have it by writing to us or emailing or calling. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you and to letting you have The Lord's Prayer, a book you'll thoroughly enjoy. Now it's time to turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're dealing with Christ sowing and reaping in Samaria, his dealing with the woman at the well, which led actually to the conversion of a multitude. We're dealing particularly with the thought of his sovereign grace, as it's evidenced in this passage of Scripture. And we're taking up today's study at a reference I made yesterday to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now Jesus said that, not I. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. But, he says, thou hast revealed them unto babes. Now immediately men will jump up and they will want to say, why does God do this? It's almost as if they're saying, what right has God to do this? And I just have to tell you, my friend, God has the right to do whatever he wants. And whatever he wants is right because God does it. Something is not right because it appeals to me. It is not right because I can logically set out the reasons for it and defend it. What God does is right because God always does right. And instead of trying to impose my logic on God, it's time to impose the absoluteness of God upon my logic. He always does right. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That was Christ's reply to it. Jesus said, Father, I have no argument to find with the absolute sovereignty of God. None. I have no criticism. It is good in thy sight. Amen. That's where we ought to stand. Then he went on to say this. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's sovereign grace. How did you ever come to know that you were a sinner? How did you ever come to know that Christ died for the ungodly? How did you ever come to feel your need of Christ?
How did you ever come to the place where you were led to plead for mercy? How did you ever come to cast yourself entirely on the saving merits of the Lord Jesus? How did you ever come there? You discovered God. Do you believe that? No. He revealed His Son to you. That's how Paul gave us testimony. Galatians chapter 1 verse 16. He says it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. That's salvation. That's sovereign grace indeed. So when you look at Christ's dealings with sinners here, you must note first His sovereign grace. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. And Jesus died for me. My, if salvation weren't of grace, there wouldn't be one person saved in the world. I'll go a whole lot further than that. If salvation were 99.99999 and as many nines as you want to add to it, percent of grace, there'd still be nobody saved. It's either all of grace or there's no salvation. Saved by grace alone. Sovereign grace. And I look at this woman. Did she deserve hell? Man, she deserved hell, all right. But I've got to be honest before God, she didn't deserve hell one bit more than I did. Day by day when I come to the Lord, I have to confess there's not a sinner in hell who more deserves to be there than I do. Not one sinner in hell who deserves to be in hell more than I deserve it. But God is rich in mercy. He's sovereign in His grace. And He's dealt with me in sovereign grace. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us, all in sovereign grace. We must quickly hurry to see Christ's supreme wisdom in dealing with souls. I'm tempted to overlook this, but I think I should say this. The Lord Jesus showed great wisdom that we may emulate here. When He met this woman, He talked to her. He just talked to her. What's the hardest thing about witnessing? Opening your mouth. That's the hardest thing. Just talking. Now, here in the South, people usually do have time to talk. Be careful of all these Yankees coming in, you know, and all these foreigners like me. Be careful. I'm only saying that half tongue-in-cheek. I sometimes think the worst thing ever happened to this area was to get big business in it. Because the pressure is on to make this another New York, another Atlanta, another huge hive of human activity where everybody's go to such an extent. You can reach the place, you hardly even talk to people. You know, when you go to a shop in around London, shop assistant will never, usually, unless it's an Irish person getting in, and then we will twit them and talk to them anyway. But they normally don't talk. Most restaurants, the staff will not talk. You don't talk to them. Just talk. If you ever want to be a witness for Christ, you've got to learn to open your mouth. When we had Bob and Alma McAllister here just a few weeks ago, we had them out at Stack's Restaurant. And I have to say, their facility in this, their gift in this, is a million miles ahead of anything I would have. I was thrilled, but I was also humbled and convicted. Before you knew it,
They were talking to the waitress about the Lord. She turned out to be a girl who professed to be saved, and she could give her testimony. But they were talking to her about the Lord. They drunk too much coke, and they had to make for the restrooms. And so, on the way, they saw a table of young people, about 10 young people sitting around it. And I noticed they weren't coming back to our table very quickly at all. And I looked over there they were. And before you knew it, they had everybody around that table talking about the Lord. Just to talk, just to show an interest. But the Lord was so real to them that they didn't just talk about the weather, they didn't talk about politics, they didn't talk about the economy. It was just bubbling out of them. Alma went up to those young people and said, "So lovely to see you young people. You know, I covet your lives to be used for the Lord. Do you know the Lord?" Just as blunt as that. Just as blunt. Talk. He started with a very natural request. "Give me to drink." At least it sounds natural. He was thirsty, so "give me to drink." But it aroused the resentment of the woman. In verse 9 she says, "How do you, being a Jew, ask water of me, a woman of Samaria?" And the idea is rather bitter and biting. Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Actually, I think it's better to say truly they don't share drinking vessels with the Samaritans. They do have dealings. The disciples were away in to buy meat. So they do have business dealings if need be. That's what the woman's saying. "Oh, you people, you would not share a cup with us normally. But when you're in need, then we're good enough to turn to." That was the thought. There was great resentment and bitterness. But here, see the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did ask her. Now it was outrageous for a Jew to do that. To share the drinking vessel of a Samaritan? He would rather die. But you see, the Lord Jesus utterly rejected all worldly, racial, religious, man-made prejudices. He totally repudiated them. So what that the Jews didn't share a vessel? That's how the world categorizes people. We don't deal with those people. We don't mix with those people. We don't socialize with those people. Those are not our people. Well, they ought to be our people. That's what Jesus is saying. They ought to be. And when you and I can consign a race of people to hell, as far as our effort's concerned, because they're black or yellow or brown or white, or we can consign them to hell as far as our effort's concerned because of their culture or their religion or their background or their economic category or whatsoever, if we are putting ourselves where those hypocritical Jews were, where we're not willing to share the cup of the water of life, then we're as unlike the Savior as our sin can make us. I'm being blunt. There is no place in the heart of a Christian. If you ever want to be a soul winner, if you ever want to be like your Savior, there is no place for you to adopt the foul logic of the world that looks at people according to the color of their skin, according to their bank balance, according to any religious, racial, worldly category that the world places around them, and say, because of that, we'll have nothing to do with them. The Lord Jesus ignored that. Something else, and this is very much to the point, in verses 9 and 10, you'll find he ignored all useless argument. The woman was ready for it. He should have been defending himself. But he didn't. He ignored all useless argument. This comes up later on when she talks about, you say it's at Jerusalem we ought to worship. We say it's in Samaria. The Lord Jesus wasn't going to get into it. He dealt with that in a summary fashion because he had something greater to talk to this woman about. Oh, that we would learn this. Men and women, whatever we're talking to sinners about, we have something greater to talk about. This is what he's saying. Look at verse 10. He showed this woman the real nature of her need. It's as if he's saying to her, woman, you come here to draw water. You think this is the water you need. But let me tell you, there is another water. There's a living water. Now, I don't think the woman at that stage understood the term living water any differently than any other person of the age. To them, living water meant fresh, springing water. But the Lord Jesus meant a whole lot more than that. He was telling her, you think if you have water from this spring, that's what you need. But you need a whole lot more than that. And if you only could know me, you would know this living water. He showed her her need. And then he assured her, verses 11 through 14, I am the one to meet that need. Now, just back off here. And see, this is the wisdom of Christ in dealing with souls. And let us seek, if the Lord will enable us, let us seek to emulate the Savior here. Reject all the things that the world puts up as barriers between us and sinners. Let us reach out to sinners. In reaching out to sinners, let us ignore all useless argument. Take whatever it is a sinner wants to argue with you about, be it politics or economics or social issues or whatever. Say you win the argument. What have you done? The Lord Jesus didn't care about winning an argument. He cared about winning a soul. So let's lay aside the useless argument. Let's show people what their need is. So many people think, all I need is more money. All I need is more education. All I need is a bigger house. All I need is a bigger car, or a second car, or a third car. All I need is this, all I need is that, all I need. I mean, they've got all those things, but nothing. What they need is the water of life. And we have got to show sinners Jesus Christ is able to meet that need.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening, I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.